Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Psalm 119. We begin our reading at verse 65. And we'll read through verse 88. Three sections of Psalm 119. Verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, in that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. We read the sacred scripture thus far this evening. May God bless our reading of his word. The text for the sermon is verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Beloved people of God, how remarkable is the fact that the inner spiritual soul life of the regenerated believer is indestructible, inextinguishable. When you consider all of the griefs and the sufferings and the deprivations that are endured by the saints, and when you consider all of the assaults of the devil who through manifold temptations tries to destroy our faith and to get us to deny the truth and the goodness of God, and when you consider all of the pressures that are applied to the soul when confessing the truth of Christ is so high, when the cost is one's own name and reputation or possessions, or one's own life itself. When you consider all of these hardships, it would seem that the destruction of the soul is certain, that one's faith would be destroyed. But God safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our way, so that our inner spiritual soul life is indestructible. And yet the illustration of the text indicates tonight that sometimes the believer's inner spiritual soul life is so greatly weakened that it is nearly extinguished, so that the believer cries out, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." And when a child of God says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke," then you know his faith has almost been destroyed. We find ourselves tonight in Psalm 119, section Kaf, verses 81 through 88. And in this section, the psalmist is giving expression to the intense suffering and sorrow of his soul, so that he brings this section to its conclusion in verse 88, crying, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness." That his suffering is so intense is indicated by the fact that he nearly lost his spiritual life. He did not lose his spiritual life. God will never break the bruised reed. He will never quench the smoking flax. The evidences of the life of faith may temporarily disappear, and the life that arises out of faith may temporarily disappear, but the inner principle of faith can never be destroyed. The psalmist did not lose his soul. He did not lose his inner spiritual soul life, but he almost did. And he makes that very plain when he cries, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." So say some saints still today. If this is not the condition of your life, and if this is not your confession, then hallelujah, praise Jehovah God. But be sure to add your prayers to the prayers of those for whom this is true. If you know a brother or a sister in the church who is like a bottle in the smoke, then be sure to say, "Lord, quicken him. Quicken her after thy loving kindness." And our faithful God hears and answers that prayer. He quickens his people. Let's consider this text tonight under the theme, like a bottle in the smoke, considering first of all the suffering soul, second, the faithful remembrance, and third, the personal confession. When the psalmist speaks of his suffering soul, he employs a figure and says he is like a bottle in the smoke. He's using a figure that was very common to the Israelites, and really it would have been common to any of the eastern nomadic peoples of millennia ago. We don't know what a bottle in the smoke is all about. When I say bottle, then you think, perhaps, glass wine bottle or amber colored beer bottle or cheap plastic disposable water bottle or clear plastic milk bottle with a nipple for a baby. But when the psalmist said bottle, the Israelites thought goat skin. If an Israelite wanted a bottle, he didn't go to a store and purchase a bottle. He had to go into the field and take one of his goats. Because goats had stronger skin than sheep, he would take a goat. If he wanted a bigger bottle, he would take a bigger goat. If he wanted a smaller bottle, he would take one of the kid goats. And then he would kill that goat. After killing the goat, he would cut off its head, all four legs, and tail. He might shave off all of the hair. He might not. careful not to do any damage to the body of the goat, he would reach his hand into the main hole where the head used to be, and he would go into the goat's body and scoop out and clean out all of the insides, all of the guts. Now he has basically a leather bottle, for he would sew up five holes, the four holes where the legs were, and the hole where the tail was, so that the only hole is the main hole where the head used to be. This goat skin is basically a leather bottle. And into that bottle, he could pour water or wine. And now imagine going on a journey, riding a donkey, and trying to take a few gallons of water in a heavy clay pot or in a leather bottle. A goat skin bottle. So next time you take a drink out of a water bottle or a drinking fountain, you can think about how nice and convenient this is compared to drinking water out of a goat skin bottle. It was not uncommon for the Israelites to have a few of these bottles hanging in or along the outside of their home. And neither was it uncommon to build a little fire in the house for cooking purposes. And because the Israelites didn't have fireplaces and chimneys and modern conventional ventilation systems, when you build a little fire in or just outside of the house, a cloud of smoke would be created. And it was a good thing if one of these leather goatskin bottles was hanging there in the smoke for a little while, because that could tan the leather and make it stronger. But if that bottle would hang in a thick, dense cloud of smoke that was just lingering there, over time, that bottle could become dried out, blackened, parched, chapped, ruined. The bottle was never put into the fire. It would then be burned and destroyed. But sometimes the bottle was hanging for a long time in a cloud of smoke. The psalmist now employs that figure of a bottle in the smoke to describe his suffering soul. He is like a bottle. He is saying that his soul, his inner spiritual life, is like a bottle. He begins in verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." Verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word." And he's not talking about his physical eyesight, but the spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith, the eyes of the soul. So that when he comes to the text, verse 83, and he says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke," he's not talking about his external flesh, as if his legs or his arms or his face is becoming chapped, but he's talking about his soul. God gave him a soul, and God graciously gave him the gift of faith. And therefore, in the soul are all of the inner movements and the energies and the moisture of a spiritual life. In his soul, he has confidence, and he has peace and hope and pleasure in God. His confessions are lively. His prayers effortlessly soar into the heights of heaven. He loves his work. He abounds in his work. He rejoices in God. He delights in his fellow believing Israelites. His mental state is so strong as he thinks about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. When all is well, he's like a bottle, a strong, moist goat skin bottle for wine or water. The smoke is suffering. Here, the suffering of persecution. 84. "How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" 85. "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law." 86. "They persecute me wrongfully." 87. "They had almost consumed me upon earth." because of the psalmist's faithfulness and his devotion to Jehovah God, there were enemies who hated him and who harassed him and who tried to trap him in his words and twisted his words. They relentlessly persecuted him. They persecuted him every day so that he cries out in 84, "How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment?" His soul, verse 81, is longing for deliverance, but he's weakening so that he says in verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word," saying, "When wilt thou comfort me?" He's not experiencing in his soul all of that moisture, all of those spiritual movements, that comfort and peace and joy and confidence. He wasn't put into the fire. His soul wasn't being burned up in the fire, but there was this thick, dense cloud of persecution that was lingering in the psalmist's life. And though formerly his soul was so moist and so strong in God, as his soul hangs there like a goatskin bottle in the smoke, his spiritual life is being dried up and chapped and blackened, so that he says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Every believer is like a bottle. If you have a soul, and you do because you're a human being, and if you have faith, and you do if you are a child of God, then you have in your soul all of that spiritual moisture. Those energies, those movements, a strong, moist bottle. But when suffering comes, and suffering doesn't go away, but it lingers like a thick cloud of smoke, then sometimes a believer can experience what the psalmist did and say, "I am like a bottle in the smoke." Some experience persecution, as the psalmist did. And when persecution first comes as a cloud of smoke and it maybe moves on through, it makes the soul stronger, and one in his soul cries out and draws near unto God. But it may happen that when that cloud of persecution comes and it lingers and it does not go away, that is when the young woman of the church goes to work and every single day she's persecuted in the workplace. Let's say she works downtown. She works in some office building, having a clerical job. She loves her work. But every day she goes to work and her female coworkers, they poke at her. They whisper about her. They harass her. She doesn't dress provocatively as they dress. She doesn't go to the drinking parties on the weekend where they go. When they sit down for lunch in the break room, she doesn't engage in that dirty talk when they talk all about their sexual escapades of the past weekend. She has a boyfriend. They've met him. But in that relationship, they live in chastity. They've established boundaries. She goes to church on Sunday. She keeps the Sabbath holy. When she does sit down for lunch, she opens every meal by praying unto her God. She has asked them more than once if they could stop, very respectfully, politely asked them to stop using their profanity. But they continue to harass her. She's talked to management, but nothing has been done about it. Now she begins to dread and despise the job she formerly loved. When she goes home at night, she's agitated because she has to go back into that workplace tomorrow morning. No one in the congregation knows about it. But when she sits in church on Sunday, she's all agitated because she's looking up against a whole nother week of being in that toxic environment. She's ready to resign and to leave because she can feel it. The spiritual energies and moistures of her soul are being blackened. She doesn't live in the confidence and hope and peace and joy and pleasure in God any longer. What is happening to my spiritual life? I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Some believers experience tremendous discomfort and pain in their bodies, whether because of injury or disease, this chronic, nagging, writhing pain that never goes away. And when pain first comes, it can make the soul stronger as one cries out unto God. But when pain comes and it lingers like a dense cloud of smoke and one tries to be a normal, functioning human being, just doing normal things with constant, nagging pain that never goes away, it begins to wear on one. And it gets to the point where a child of God may find himself lying in bed day after day, and the only goal is simply to get through another day. There are no joyful confessions on his bed of affliction. He's not lifting lofty utterances of prayer that are soaring into the heights of heaven. He's not delighting in communion and fellowship with God's people. He doesn't have hope and eagerness for the future, but abject misery. And that continual pain is the cause of so much suffering that's beginning to dry up his soul, so that he says, "Mine eyes fail. When wilt thou comfort me? I am become like a bottle in the smoke." For some of God's children, there is a profound sorrow of soul that may come with the loss of a loved one. And it's not only the initial grief, the initial shock of the absolute finality and separation of death. Even when you know death is coming for a loved one, you can't anticipate it. There's still really no preparation for that sense of absolute separation when death finally does come. But then especially when death comes suddenly in a tragedy that takes your breath away when you hear the news of it, that grief, but not only that grief, that intense, profound sorrow of soul, that emptiness that continues for a long, long time. That grief, that sorrow, or the sorrow no one knows about, maybe some grief caused by traumatic hardships long ago in the past, in one's childhood. Or maybe one is sinking into depression and sinking lower and lower into depression. Or a believer finds him or herself in a marriage, and years after the wedding, the spouse starts walking away. Or one has a loved one who walks away from God's church and gospel and truth, and not only walks away, but then turns around and starts slandering the family, and slandering the church, and slandering the gospel, and becoming hostile. And the grief that causes, the sorrow of heart, is profound. Then the believer laments, "My soul was not always a suffering soul, but now it's so hard to find pleasure in anything, in eating, in drinking, in fellowship with God's people. Sometimes I don't even want to come to church and be around God's people. In reading, sometimes it's hard even to open up the Bible and read and pray. The moisture of my soul is departing. My eyes are failing, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. When wilt thou comfort me?" People of God, God never breaks the bruised reed, and He never quenches the smoking flax, and He never takes the dried out, parched goatskin bottle of the soul and allows it to become so blackened and so parched that all of the moisture is completely gone forever. And the psalmist acknowledges that to be the truth, and to be the truth for him personally, when he goes on to confess, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." Though almost all the inner moisture of the soul, the confidence and pleasures and comforts dry up, God always preserves a little bit of moisture in the soul. And that is the faithful remembrance of His statutes. The psalmist deliberately expresses the truth of the matter in the negative when he says, "Yet do I not forget thy statutes." He doesn't formulate that positively as we have done in the second point of the sermon. He puts it in the negative because it looked like he forgot. It seemed like he forgot. And the devil was determined to get him to forget. But no, he did not forget God's statutes. God always preserves in the most grievously tormented believer, in the one whose anguish of soul is so profound, God preserves in that sorrowful believer the faithful remembrance of His statutes. Statutes in the text is one of the synonyms for the Word of God in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, of course, is the great Old Testament celebration of the Word of God as to its character, its attributes, its nature, the Word of God, its content. The Word of God is the Word of God's revelation to Israel through Moses, the Book of the Covenant, the Scripture for the psalmist. We know it today as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That is the Word of God. And almost every verse in this longest of all of the Psalms contains that phrase, the Word of God, or His Word, or Thy Word, or a synonym like commandments, judgments, law, precepts, testimonies, way, or hear, statutes. The word statute means something due. And it refers to the official decree that is issued by the sovereign for all of the inhabitants in his realm. What they owe him. What is due unto him. And this word is emphasizing the binding authority and the permanence of the decree. So if a mother says to her son, "Son, I would like you to go outside and feed all of the goats before you sit down for breakfast this morning," that's not a statute. That's her word, that's her command, and the son had better obey his mother, but that's not a statute. But when from the palace up on the hill, the king issues an official decree for the whole of his realm, and even writes it down on his royal tablet, and he seals it, saying, "All of the boys of my kingdom must feed the family goats before they sit down for breakfast." That is a statute, binding authority, and it is permanent there in the king's realm. When the psalmist speaks of God's statutes, he's referring to the Word of God. But now, the Word of God from the point of view of its binding authority and its permanence, the commands, what God required, what is due unto God. And God wrote that down in 10 words on tables of stone. So that there are the 10 statutes. And yet fundamentally, there is one principal statute, one great statute above all of the other statutes. And it is, "Have no other gods before me." to turn that around, to put that in the positive. I am Jehovah God, your Creator and your Redeemer. Have me. Believe in me. Know me. Confess me. Trust me. Love me. Submit to me. Reverence me. Adore me. Honor me. I am Jehovah God. That is the statute. Deuteronomy chapter 6 begins, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." And then later in verses 7 and following, Moses says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Statutes. But what is the principal statute, the chief statute? That one statute from which hang all of the other statutes with their binding authority and their permanence. The one statute that is explicitly mentioned in that section of Deuteronomy chapter 6. What is the one binding decree the king has issued for all? The statute. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Statute. The psalmist says, "I do not forget thy statutes." The psalmist does not mean that somewhere in the back of his mind he has maintained the bare words of God's statutes so that he can recall them to mind. But the psalmist means that he loves God's statutes. He does not forget them because he loves them. He says, "When my soul is overwhelmed within me, as the wicked persecute me without a cause, when my soul faints for thy salvation, when my eyes faint for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When I am become like a bottle in the smoke, all dried out spiritually, and it feels like I have no spiritual moisture left. Yet, there's one thing I always have. There's one little bit of moisture that always remains within me. There's yet one evidence that I am a child of God." That is, the believer. The beleaguered believer says, "When I am like a bottle in the smoke, when I'm in the depths of sorrow and even depressed, when I'm weeping in inconsolable grief and find no comfort, when I'm crawling my way through life and I need morphine from the doctor to be able to do it because the pain is so great, when I am so full of anguish in the depths of my soul so that I cannot even sit down and open up the scriptures or formulate a prayer, when I cannot find excitement to be with God's people, my fellow Israelites, so I stay home all by myself, when my moisture is turned into the drought of summer and I do not even feel like a child of God any longer, yet there is always one thing left in my soul. I do not forget thy statutes." I don't keep them. I don't do them as I should. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I do love them. I do not forget them. And if in my greatest agony someone should come with the two tables of stone and set before me those tables of stone in which God inscribed His statutes with His own finger, and in my greatest agony give to me a sledgehammer and say, God, the God who gives these statutes is the God who has forsaken you and who is making you miserable and who is angry with you. Now, crush these tables of stone into powder. If in my great agony I'm writhing in bed up in the hospital, and into the room walks a Muslim chaplain, of all people, and he asks if he can sit down alongside of my bed and read to me out of the Quran and say a prayer unto Allah, or a Roman Catholic priest asks if he may sit alongside my bed and read out of the Bible and say a prayer in the name of the Blessed Mother, the co-mediatrix, the tender-hearted Mary, or from the other side of my curtain, back in the deep part of the room where the window is, that ungodly heathen man who's been cursing in his profanity all night asks me as I'm writhing in bed to curse God with him. Or if in my own home I find myself rolling around in the dust, writhing in pain because of all of the boils that have covered my body from head to toe, my own wife should stoop down and say, why don't you just curse God and die? When I am like a bottle in the smoke, when I cannot even pray or meditate on God's word, in my lowest estate, when I hear some blasphemy of the name of my God, or someone asks me to participate in the blasphemy of the name of my God, I am provoked to anger. And I react in holy horror, because as lowly as I am spiritually, I do not forget thy statutes. All thy statutes, plural. The psalmist uses the plural. Keep the Sabbath day holy, says the Lord our God. I don't do it. I don't keep the Sabbath day holy as I should. O wretched man that I am. It grieves me when I say, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to be around God's people. I know that's wrong. I want to be in church. I don't do what the fourth commandment requires, O wretched man that I am. But I do love that commandment. I do not forget it. And if my children or my grandchildren in their generation should rise up and try to abolish the Sabbath and the fourth commandment, I would be provoked and distraught, because I do not forget thy statute regarding the Sabbath. I may be like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Amazing. One thing that Satan can never take from the believer's heart. God writes His statutes upon our heart, and Satan can never gain access and undo what God has done. The believer might not do the good of the statutes as he would. He might not have a song of praise or a prayer for God right now, but he does not curse God and die. I do not forget thy statutes. The psalmist and every suffering believer faithfully remembers God's statutes, but that's because of something deeper. That's because of something stronger. And here we come to the beauty of the gospel of grace. And the gospel of grace is that Jehovah God faithfully remembers us. God made a promise. And that promise is like a statute to God in that He binds Himself permanently. He binds Himself to His promise forever. For the Messiah's sake, God will remember His covenant. He will remember His covenant people. He will be merciful. He will not cast them off. He will preserve them in His covenant. He faithfully remembers us for the Messiah's sake. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now go to Calvary and behold and see. If there be any smoke, like His smoke. If there be any soul, any suffering soul, like His suffering soul. Did not our Lord cry from the cross, I am become like a bottle in the smoke? When He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And I thirst. There He was, hanging on the cross, especially in those 3 hours of darkness. And He was not abounding in the work of preaching and in His healing ministry. During those 3 hours of darkness, He wasn't lifting lofty utterances of prayer into the heights of heaven to His God. He wasn't gleefully singing. The man, with His real human soul, was being dried up. Agonizing He was. Parched He was. Outside and inside. Because forth from the nostrils of the holy sovereign King and Judge were breathed all of the billows of the smoke and the fury of God's wrath upon Jesus Christ, the sin bearer, unto whom the guilt of all of His people had been imputed, and God was punishing Him, hanging there, engulfed in that darkness. He was like a goatskin bottle hanging from that cross, lingering in the smoke of God's wrath, and in the midst of it all, He never forgot God's statutes, including that one chief statute, which was love me. Love me, the Lord your God, and prove your love for me by offering your soul, pouring out your soul as an offering for sin, for the redemption of my people, that I might live for them, live with them forever in my covenant. Jesus loved that statute. And even as He descended through that dark, thick cloud of smoke and down into the fires themselves, the flames of the fire, the burning fire into which He went. He loved God's statute. And He not only loved it, He did it. He kept all of God's statutes perfectly. And into the smoke and into the fire itself He went, down into death itself, being burned victoriously, so that that burning wrath of God was taken away and will never be poured out upon His elect people. For Jesus' sake, God faithfully remembers us. God will never put us in the fire, and in the worst of our suffering, in the smoke, He faithfully remembers us in His covenant. Our soul faints for His salvation. For Jesus' sake, Jehovah will bring salvation. Our eyes long for the comfort of His word. And for Jesus' sake, Jehovah will bring that comfort. Our soul cries, quicken me after Thy loving kindness. And for Jesus' sake, God will quicken us. Our soul does not forget His statutes. But that's because of something deeper, something stronger. He, Jehovah God, for Jesus' sake, does not forget us. His remembrance is the faithful remembrance. So the psalmist makes this personal confession saying, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Is that your personal confession tonight? If it is not, then give thanks to God. But if it is, then know that you are not alone in your suffering. Others have felt this way, including the psalmist. And who was the psalmist? Who is the one who makes this very personal confession? He may have been David. In which case, he is a king. He is an office bearer. He is the leader of Israel. Sometimes the one who makes this confession is the pastor, one of the elders, a deacon, a father or mother as a leader in the home. Sometimes they get so low and are like a bottle in the smoke. Likely the psalmist was a young man, for earlier in this song he sings, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Young men are the picture of strength. But Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Though young men are a picture of strength, not all young men are on the inside what they appear to be on the outside. And sometimes it's a young man who is feeling like a bottle in the smoke. Psalmist was. Now don't be afraid to say it. Confess it. Personally, say to God, I am like a bottle in the smoke. Say it to a pastor, to an office bearer, to a friend, a family member. I can't go on any longer. I can't do this. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The psalmist wasn't always this way. Because he says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And nor will the psalmist continue forever this way, because the psalmist prays unto God, quicken me after thy loving kindness, and God will faithfully remember him and quicken him and bring him back spiritual strength so that he can say, I used to be like a bottle in the smoke. And he can comfort others with the comfort wherewith he had been comforted. But now, right now, during this time, this season of his life, he was like a bottle in the smoke. But he said it. He said it. And it wasn't a complaint. It was the expression of the truth, and it needed to be said. Say it. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. And say this, yet do I not forget thy statutes, and I know that God will faithfully remember me. He will. He will remember you, child of God. He will, for Jesus' sake. You know that goatskin bottle when it hangs too long in the smoke and it gets parched and dried out and cracked? Who would trust it? Who would dare to go on a journey with water in that bottle? Throw it away. God doesn't cast us away no matter how worthless we feel and how low we get spiritually, because once God makes you a bottle, once God makes you a vessel of His praise, you will always be a vessel of His praise, even though you're not consciously praising Him and desiring to praise Him right now. He made you. You are His. He will fill you again with His praise, that you may eternally praise Him. He remembers us for Jesus' sake. May that be our confidence tonight. Though I may be like a bottle in the smoke, Jehovah God remembers me. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, our life is but a span, a vapor, a breath, a moment. But Thou art the everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting, the I am that I am. Great and glorious Thou art. In all of Thy glory, power, and majesty, be gracious unto us. Remember us, O God, in our human frailty and in our sinfulness. O God, in whom we trust, Thou whose years are everlasting, remember us that we are but dust. For Jesus' sake, amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.